School PR professionals spend a week or two each year networking, if they're lucky. We pour into this professional development, and the conversations drive us in our work. Collaboration is one of the best parts of our job, but then we go back to our daily work and the buzz of bright conversations and innovation starts to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. We seek to create a shared space of collaboration and an opportunity to continue those conversations long after the closing sessions of our state and national conferences.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast is about just that, getting to know each other better and sharing our passions about furthering education, one story at a time.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of School PR Happy Hour. Thanks for listening today, and I'm excited for this conversation that we were supposed to have last month, but if you remember, we had COVID, we had a new house, and then we had no internet for 6 weeks. So I'm glad that we're here today, and we have Dr. Jill Johnson, the president of Class Intercom, with us today to have a conversation a little bit about building students up as content creators and just some of the things that she's seen as she's traveled the country and spoke to different groups about how people are using students to tell the story of their school district. So Dr. Jill, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Thanks, Justin. It's awesome to be here and so excited to get to see you last week, but awesome to be reconnecting now.
Yeah, let's start there because, I mean, if you follow Dr. Jill on Twitter, you've seen that she has been, you've been traveling a lot lately.
And the doing last couple weeks, definitely.
Yeah, doing some presentations, but you did get to experience the greatest conference there is, TSPRA. You were there last week. And what was your thoughts on your first TSPRA conference?
Yeah, that was my first time and expectations were high because I'd heard so many great things about TSPRA and the people of Texas. And it's almost like a national conference because it's such an engaged group and it did not disappoint. Hardworking, fun, just really engaged, wanting to learn and wanting to grow in their profession. So it lived up to all the hype for sure.
Well, I can tell you, attending it for the last 7 years, this one just felt different. It felt like we were finally, like, as a group, a little bit, for lack of better terminology, uncaged and able to hang out again. Because last year we had a small in-person with maybe 160, 170 people there. But there were over 800 people at this conference. There's still people listening that are like, oh, gosh, 800 people. But it was awesome because it gave us opportunities. You saw people like groups of 5 and 10 just hiding in corners, having conversations about what was going on in their districts. And just it was nice to have that chance to talk to people that knew what you were going through. Because sometimes coming home and talking about what you did at work doesn't stick as well. But if you can talk to somebody who's doing the same thing, it helps out quite a bit.
Well, and I think it's just so true. I mean, I'm so thankful for Zoom and I love podcasts and I love what technology does for us to be able to connect worldwide and through a pandemic to still be able to maintain that sociality. But to be able to connect in person, those things we took for granted, I think pre-COVID, it was alive and well in Round Rock, Texas. I mean, those side conversations, smiles, without masks, just the things that were happening in a hotel conference center, conversations that you don't plan and schedule. Those things just don't happen on a Zoom meeting. And so it was awesome to be a part of it and awesome to see it unfolding in front of us in the hallways and in the different breakout sessions too.
Well, I want to get just right into kind of your road to Class Intercom because, you told your story this week a little bit during your breakout session, and I just enjoyed hearing about, the different roles you've had in education and then, going through earning your doctorate and everything and then kind of where you've landed with Class Intercom. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, the road to how you got to Class Intercom, where you're at today, and kind of sharing that story of, students' involvement in social media.
Yeah, definitely. So I was a classroom teacher for almost 20 years. I taught high school language arts, so English, speech, a little bit of journalism. Absolutely loved that career. Probably could have done it forever. and then had the opportunity to work in professional development. So in Nebraska, we have educational service units. They're intermediary agencies. Most states have them and call them different things. But I was able to work for several years with educators and administrators on their professional development and staying on the cutting edge of their needs. And then about 6 years ago, in the town where I'd lived for about 15 years, where we were raising our family, they added an assistant principal position at the high school. And I just thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to get some really hands-on experience as an administrator, because I was working with them all the time and offering them advice and training them, but I hadn't actually lived in their shoes. And so I spent the last 5 years as an assistant principal at Seward High School. And during that time, one of the things that I was charged with in our district was to rein in a lot of our social media accounts. I think we had 37 Twitter accounts alone at our high school. And so reining those in, you know, making sure that everyone was safe and secure to really protect our staff, as well as to make sure and streamline our messaging. And so during that time when I was reining that all in, then I was also really encouraging staff to tell our story, because I'm just so passionate about schools sharing what they're doing, because everyone thinks they are an expert in education because they went to school at some point in their lives. And if we don't tell our story, someone is going to tell it for us. And so I had teachers sending me texts and emails and other random things. And I know the school PR people who are listening to this can completely relate, but I'd get these awesome pictures of a biology lab, and yet I wouldn't know what I was supposed to tell about it. And so that's when Class Intercom, I got connected with Class Intercom, and we were able to start allowing staff and students to create content, but there was a moderation system. So that was a lifesaver and a game changer for me about 4 years ago. In that same time frame, as an AP, I was also dealing somewhat with students who were making poor choices online, typically with social media, even if it was happening outside of the school. When it filtered into the school, then by law, we were required to address it. And so, you know, a lot of times when students make a bad choice online, your student handbook's going to have consequences to send them out of school, you know, to suspend them for a day or two. Not a lot of growth happening there in digital citizenship. And so starting to try to work through ways to allow kids to have authentic experiences in creating content for someone other than themselves. And Class Intercom allowed us to do that as well. So because I was in the midst of my doctoral program in educational leadership, I decided to pursue that study in my for my dissertation. And there's not a lot of research out there about it right now. And so it was kind of going into that brave new world and trying to figure out that niche that I wanted to explore. And so it was really looking at schools that were allowing students to create content in a safe and secure environment. And so Class Intercom allowed me that niche to find those leaders that were allowing that. And so I was able to interview a number of principals who were allowing student-created content. And so during that time, I finished up my dissertation, and Class Intercom, I knew about them and they knew about me, and they reached out and said, "Hey, Jill, would you be interested in coming and working for us?" And so this summer took over the lead there as Class Intercom president. And it's just been a joy to really work to find ways to allow students to create content, to give them those authentic experiences, and doing that through extracurricular activities with school and also curricular activities. So digital marketing, journalism, those types of classes as well. So that's been our goal, is to continue to pursue that and offer those opportunities.
Well, I will start by saying, I mean, obviously every time Aaron or I have an opportunity to talk to you guys, we always say thank you for the support that you give this show. And from the beginning, have always, you know, been on board with what we're trying to build here and trying to do here and trying to help people across the country. But since you have joined Class Intercom, I will say that there has been a buzz of just, people are very thankful for y'all's approach to sharing tactics and sharing information and being a resource to anybody, not just, mm-hmm. you know, obviously you want people to sign up and join Class Intercom and have the service for their students. But I mean, you're presenting at conferences across the country, your ebook that you've released and things like that. I just know the school PR community is very thankful that you guys are being a resource to everyone. So thank you for doing that first off.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I will say that was one of the reasons that I was excited to make this shift and come on board, is because part of Class Intercom's mission from the beginning is to support all educators and educational systems and students, not just our clients. And so even when people decide not to go with us, or they're just reaching out and grabbing our free resources online, and we're continuing to make more and more of those, we're excited because we want to make a difference. And that's why Class Intercom invested in me too, by bringing a seasoned educator on board. And so that was very appealing to me in making this shift as well. And it's something I'm really proud of.
Well, while you were telling your story, you said, you know, if we don't tell our stories, someone else will. And I think right now, public education across the board is living in that world where we're coming out of a pandemic. We've got all sorts of different other things going on. And if we're not stepping up and telling our story, someone else is going to, and they can shape the narrative or even just shape the, you know, the brand with their story, if we're not stepping up and shaping it with ours. And I mean, I've had this conversation with you multiple times about how nervous I was about, hey kid, here's Instagram, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then the long-term success of it, I've been like, man, why didn't we do this 5 years ago? How do you, like, just from the beginning of that, like with that anxiety that school PR or principals or teachers have with handing the reins over to students, like what's just, if you were to give them just like, here's a little bit of advice, or here's a word of wisdom, hey, they can do it. What would you say to a teacher who's like, man, I'm not doing that?
yeah, definitely. Well, I think it is really scary. And because I've lived in the shoes of being a high school administrator for 5 years, schools do have to have a certain amount of control. I mean, I am probably more pro voice than most, you know, student voice. And we've partnered with Quill and Scroll, the International Journalism Society, because we really are committed to giving students voice. But with that said, when you are speaking on behalf of a school, the school has to know what's going out and think about how it's going to be received and all those kind of things as well. So it is scary. And I think school PR people would all admit that they're control freaks, and I'm right there with them, and most school administrators are as well, just because they have to be, and they're in survival mode a lot, and they're trying to avoid crises and manage those crises. And so when we think about empowering students, I think there has to be that element of control. And our company was founded when Ben, our CEO, was talking to a group of young entrepreneurs. And there were four girls sitting in the front row when he was speaking to a group of students, and they had a sticky note with the school's social usernames and passwords. And all four of them had the same sticky note. And I love student empowerment, but like I'm feeling like that's just an accident waiting to happen.
That's right? Frightening.
And it really is. And it's not protecting the students either. And so whether it's Class Intercom or some other type of vehicle that you're using, there really does need to be that moderation system. The nice part about Class Intercom, so instead of getting those random texts and emails like I was getting before from staff, now I was getting curated content, you know, that was a put together post with hashtags, with handles, with pictures, with graphics, with video. Already made. And so even if they needed a slight tweak to edit, or, you know, a double check to make sure every student that was shown had signed off to have their photo on social, you know, those types of filters that we just needed to double check, that could definitely be done by the different moderators in charge. And so that, like I said, it was a godsend to me because it solved all the problems that I was having. And so the last 3 years, I had over 50 students on my team creating content, and it was kind of a divide and conquer mentality. And it took a huge, it took away a lot of anxiety. And it also took away a lot of my workload that I was having to do in creating content.
So let's kind of talk about, you know, having students as content creators. I know I've talked to Ben multiple times about, you know, my first group of interns that we handed the reins over to, and they had no idea. I mean, we gave them training. We did a lot of training before it was like, here's the keys, run with it. But it was crazy how quickly their voice took off and how quickly the stories changed. So, and then in meetings, I look at them like, you know, I'm 39. I think I'm cool, but I'm really not. I mean, I don't know what's going on in debate club because I'm not there every day. There's only one of me. There's 35 interns. Y'all are telling these great stories. What have you seen just as working with students and seeing how it can change the story and it just makes more of an authentic engagement for the schools? And how does that benefit the schools?
Yeah, definitely. I think my big takeaway and something I say in every presentation is to keep it simple. I think we stress too much about training them to be mini-me's and thinking that we can do it better than they can do it. And we are professionals in this, and especially the school PR people, incredible. But the way that social is, sometimes the highly produced video doesn't get near as many hits as the silly video that the kids make in the hallway, you know, and make it in about, you know, 60 seconds and put it out, just because they know what people grab onto, and it really is more authentic and it's coming from them. And so now they're not only telling their own story and the story about their peers, but they're also sharing their creations and that narcissistic piece in us that we all have. They want to see that as well. So we started seeing, even by allowing students to create content, not just for our Instagram reels, but also for our Facebook and Twitter, and even some on LinkedIn, our viewership went way up because we started having our kids jump on jump on Facebook. And so our Facebook following went way up, and then, you know, the grandma started watching and parents were watching and sharing out, you know, my kid created this graphic or my kid produced this video. And so we were really starting to see that as well. And so I think it's not trying to train mini-me's, but just, you know, telling the important things, like you need to spell things correctly. You need to use correct grammar. That's my old English teacher in there. You need to make sure you have those hashtags. And then that visual, whatever it might be, is always going to be key. And then I think thinking about, we're creating content for someone other than ourselves. And so what is that brand? Like, my personal brand might be one thing and my school brand might be another. So remembering that you're speaking on behalf of your school, and there's this incredible amount of pride that builds up. And it's not just your valedictorian kids or your honor society kids. It's really all kids. And so because we have the moderation system, we can give some breathing room to those creatives who maybe don't thrive even in the academic world, but they are incredibly creative. And when we let them tell their story from their point of view about the school, more often than not, it is overly positive and oftentimes unexpected.
Justin and I are so excited to welcome back Class Intercom as our sponsor for season 3 of School PR Happy Hour. Last year, we told you that Class Intercom is a comprehensive social media management tool designed specifically for schools that allows for content creation from an unlimited number of users, including students, in a safe and carefully moderated way. That's true, but did you know that Class Intercom also has a reporting feature and does complete archiving, all for one school-friendly price? To learn more, head to classintercom.com and get started today.
From my experience of doing this, I've seen two things that have, I guess, were surprising for me. Number one, like you mentioned, grandma starts reading the post on Facebook and starts sharing it and saying, my grandkid made this graphic, my grandkid wrote this, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's also, you're building ambassadors on the outside looking in at the district. So when things maybe aren't going 100% perfect, and maybe there's negativity on the site, I'm seeing some of my parents of these interns coming in and defending the school district. Well, let me tell you about the opportunity my kid has to learn. Let me tell you about this. Like, you may not like this, but they're doing this. They're doing all these other things. Like, you know, a podcast that we have at our district, it didn't have the best review, but then one of the moms chimed in and was like, you know, this is a student produced thing. This is not, this is the students came up with this idea. This is the students' show, and you probably shouldn't be so upset about students. Maybe they messed up, because that's what we do. We all mess up. But the other cool thing I've seen is just writing those short little tweets or short little Instagram posts, the confidence that starts to build up in the kids with their writing. And this will, I mean, this goes right back to the English teacher and you. I live with an English teacher. She's an administrator now, but she taught English forever. I've got kids now that are like, okay, so Twitter and Instagram's fun. Can I write a full story? Absolutely. Like, please do. That's like, awesome. Okay, what do you want to write about? Well, we have a campus that's doing this elementary campus. I'm a high school kid. Can I go talk to their librarian? She was my librarian. I'll interview her, interview some students, and write about their social study projects they're working on. And then she turns in a full AP style news story.
Yeah. I love that. So two things there. One, what you mentioned about students, you know, people are a little bit, they're definitely more forgiving if it's students and when they know it's students. And so the more you do, especially on social, the more people expect. So it's trying to figure out how you can maintain. But I know one time we had a parent, and she private messaged us on Facebook, so that was great. She didn't just blast us out there in the open. But she was like, how come you already posted volleyball results and you haven't posted cross country results? And I let her know that we had a student representative that was in charge of that. That student had already texted me and said, I don't have enough data on my phone plan to send out all the results and the photos until I get back to the school and jump on their Wi-Fi. So just wanted you to know they're going to be late. I let that parent know that. And then she became our greatest advocate. She's like, kids are doing all of that? I didn't even know that, even though we had tried to let people know. And so she became a huge advocate for us anytime there was an error. And we loved too when kids would maybe make a graphic and it would have an incorrect game time. Maybe it said 6 o'clock start, it was supposed to be 6:30. It went through whoever the approver was. You know, mistakes happen with adults and kids. And so people would jump on and say, hey, I think game time's 6 o'clock, not 6:30 or whatever it might be. And we were able to quickly correct that. But kids started to learn when you have an authentic audience, it's not your teacher taking 5 points off your grade.
Right.
It's real life. It's real time. They could then make that correction. And the next time they were double checking, having a classmate double check, checking with a staff member before they sent it out.
And there's not many careers, because a lot of the students I'm seeing that are signing up to do this kind of work with us, whether it's internship or video projects that we have, it's the creative students that are looking to go into some sort of, you know, writing, creative, marketing, something to that effect. And these are skills that they're going to have when they get to the marketplace, when they get to the workforce. And I mean, there's not many careers out there in 2022 that are like, you're not doing some sort of marketing and some sort of, you know, content creation as a whole. I mean, yeah, I think you said it in your presentation. You're thankful for the 60 and 70 year old men that get on and show you how to drywall so you can do a project at home. Mm-hmm. These kids have an opportunity to learn early what it looks like and how they can work through a personal brand, or if they're lucky enough to get hired with a big brand to do the marketing, they've already got this experience. They're building their resume as 14, 15, and 16 year olds, where my resume didn't really start looking like anything other than restaurants and fast food until I was like 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And it's thinking about every industry. So I have a student intern right now. She works for us on projects, but she's a senior in high school, and we're trying to really walk the talk. You know, we're encouraging schools to allow students to create content, so I feel like we need to do that as well. But she also told me, she said, yeah, I'm trying to convince my uncle to hire me for his construction business, because, you know, he's doing okay, but if he would put his stuff online and share it on social, like, she goes, he's awesome, he would blow up, but I haven't convinced him yet. And so thinking about all the types of content creators there could be in It's hard to think of an industry that wouldn't use content creation to help drive their business, tell their story in 2022 and beyond. It's difficult to think of one.
Well, the benefits are there. I mean, we've talked about, this is probably my third or fourth show in the last three seasons over Student Voice. So everybody's like, here he goes again. Because this is just something that even when I was a teacher, as a video production teacher, there was multiple times where I'd come in and I'm like, all right, you'll have a project due next Friday. And they're like, what's it about? I'm like, you tell me. Like, no genre. Like, usually we'd give them a genre or something like that. But a lot of times we just, it was time for them just to have a free project where they could use their voice to tell whatever story. And we'd come in and the whole department, graphic design to video to radio, it'd be like, all right, you have a project due Friday. And we would do that across the whole program. So it was just an opportunity for us to see what they could create. And so, I mean, this is something I've been passionate about since day one in the classroom. So just carrying it over into school PR and showing people the opportunities for students to help and to share an authentic story is big for me. But the benefits are there. We've talked about it. But you also have this awesome ebook out that is, you know, your how-to guide for building a team of content creators. So why don't you talk a little bit about the creation of that and kind of what's in there for people and how they can access it?
Yeah, definitely. So for me, really living that, living that where I was trying to create a team, kind of build the plane in the air and figure out how to use Class Intercom in the best way and empower the most kids. You know, there was some trial and error in there. And so we really broke it down into four basic parts: how to recruit, how to train, how to retain, and how to sustain. And that's with students and with staff, because a lot of times you're trying to recruit adults to be part of your team also. And I don't think we need to try to have everyone, right? It's not for everyone. Some of them are just going to be consumers, but those who are willing to be creators, we want to get them on board. And so the ebook, which is free for everyone, has really outlined. There's a lot of pictures, graphics, a ton of downloadables, even from organizing your team and thinking about who to ask. Starting with when I first started, you know, I went to the football coach and said, hey, Coach Opfer, who would be a really great student that could be the social media rep for the football team? And of course, he picks the quarterback, who's a great storyteller, an awesome kid, but he's a quarterback. He can't be given score updates for the game. And so I realized quickly, oh, that's not my best person. But sometimes that student manager who was volunteering his time maybe wasn't as athletically gifted or even hardworking as other kids, but really found a passion in creating content and found that niche, you know. So it's starting with that, really recruiting, tapping into already existing groups like your yearbook team, maybe a multimedia class or a marketing class that's already happening in school. So those are great places to go. And then training, really focusing really just on the basics and not trying to overtrain kids and turn them off and stifle their creativity before they even get started. And then there's just a lot of pieces in there about retaining and sustaining. So for instance, one of my good friends, Heather Callahan, she has had a student social media team for several years. They create incredible content and it just continues to grow because the word grows. And she had called me up a couple months ago and was like, Jill, my kids are just crushing it, but I need to reward them. I need to reinforce this. What should I do? I need some ideas. And we brainstormed for about 2 minutes. And I said, well, you just said they're crushing it. Why don't you write them a quick note and give them an orange crush on Monday when they come into school? And she's like, got it. I'm on it. Made some quick graphics about being content crushers, had them each stop in her office, grab an orange crush. And she said, just with that small pat on the back, it then spiraled into them creating even better content. More people noticing, you know, she shared that thank you out on social. And then she started getting more and more kids coming and saying, hey, can I be a part of that team? Hey, what is it you guys are doing? I want to be a part of that. And so then really building that system to sustain. How are we assigning content? Who's making sure following up? And I farmed all of that out to kids. And what's awesome for me now is, I've been at Class Intercom since the middle of June, and the students there are still just killing it with content. And I love checking in with their principals and counselors and seeing what everybody's doing. And it's self-sustaining because it's become part of our culture now. The social media team is as alive and well as the basketball team or the speech team. And that's just such a great thing, because we all know that students who are involved and engaged in their extracurriculars are going to be more successful and engaged in high school academics and in continuing and finishing. And so that's really the awesome part for me. In the ebook, I also tell the story about my first team and Becca, my very first intern that I pursued, because I was doing lunch duty and she was out there taking a lot of pictures of her shoes and whatever and sending them on Snapchat. And so she explained the fine art of Snapchatting to me about 5 years ago. Ended up just being a dream intern and built it from there. So I think it's starting small and then just continuing to build and grow, and kids will start to reach out and fill some of those voids. And that's just an awesome thing to see. And hopefully the ebook gives a really solid foundation for people to do that.
I will try, like, on one little point you said there is making them, you know, with the reward system there to kind of sustain them and keep them around, retain them. We saw that happen this year with this is the first year we did the internship program in my new district. And we did football season and we did everything that was going on during football season. At the end of the season, happened to be the last game we were going to host was the weekend right before you left to go to Thanksgiving. So we decided last minute just to we called it Internsgiving.
Cool.
And they showed up with food, and we ordered a big dinner, got it sponsored, whatever, and had food come in. And they just sat for like an hour and a half after the game and talked about what it meant to be in this group. And how, whether you were, 39-year-old Justin, 27-year-old Devin, which was our media specialist, or one of the students, you were a part of the team and we were doing important work. Like, this was their driven mm-hmm. conversation. Mm-hmm. And then Devin got a job, and her dream job, and had to leave the district. And those kids found out, and on her last day showed up and threw her a going away party in the lobby of our admin building.
That's amazing. And I will, one of the pieces that came out of my dissertation research was this providing that niche for those kids that didn't otherwise already have that, right? That weren't one of the band kids or weren't one of the jocks or whatever it might be. And this is a whole new area for kids to be a part of. And sometimes it's the really quiet kids, right? But it gives them that voice. Or those kids that you were talking about wanting to create long form, knowing that social is how we drive people back to that long form that's on the website or wherever we have it living. And I think all kids want to be influencers too, because that's the thing now, is to be an influencer, but they don't know what they want to influence. They don't know what they stand for yet. And that's part of our job, right? Is to bring that out of them. And what is the difference they want to make, or what is the story they want to tell? So even on our website, we have CGTV, or what we call Content Generation TV. There's a really great series that starts with So You Want to Be an Influencer, and we have it designed for teachers that can use it as a supplemental curriculum, put it right into their class. You could have used it in your classroom at that time, journalism, digital media, whatever it might be. So it's short videos made by a college intern. It's got downloadables, worksheets, things that lead them right into creating content, whether they then put it out via Class Intercom or not. So I think that's amazing. And building those relationships, like Internsgiving, that's fantastic. I hope a lot of people are hearing that and going to try to mimic something like that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it made me sad. The other day I had to go to the stadium to set up a soccer game and the sign was still up. And I was like, man, I haven't seen him in a while, because we've been so busy with COVID and we've been kind of limiting what we can do as far as meetings and trainings and things like that. And I saw that sign. I was like, mm-hmm. We got to get together. We got to have intern spring break party or something before they leave, like something at the stadium for soccer or something. Well,
yeah.
I don't know if you have, before you joined Class Intercom, if you had heard season one of this show, but as you know, this season I've been asking a very random question that I just pull from a deck of cards that I have here, but
I'm a little nervous about it.
Seeing as how you are, a lifetime educator, working with education since, you started your career, I'm going to go back to my question from season one for you. Can you talk about a teacher or a moment in your education journey that impacts you to this day?
Yeah, definitely. I really have two. And I was so blessed. One, a kind of fun fact about me, I grew up in Nebraska, born and raised. I graduated in a class of 17. And so that's really hard for people who didn't grow up in small towns to fathom. But even in that very small school, I had so many incredible opportunities and amazing teachers who are now friends today. And so I'm going to give shout outs to two people. One, Mr. Blessing, who was my high school English teacher, who just gave us so much confidence and opportunity to, whether it was be on stage, speech team, be creative, learn from history, but help drive us into the future. So definitely Mr. Blessing, he's amazing, still an amazing friend and mentor to so many of us. And then number two, Mr. Willman, rest in peace because he has passed away, but he was my high school woodshop teacher. And not a lot of girls took woodshop when I was in school, and he kind of recruited me to be in there. And I will tell you, it was my really my getaway from all the craziness. I was in a ton of activities, sports, all those things. But when I went into woodshop, I could just work and focus. And he's the one who first said to me, Jill, I think you'd be an amazing teacher. He said, you relate to all sorts of students. You're kind to everybody and you see everybody. I think you should consider that. And he's the first person who ever said that to me and planted that seed. And it didn't start to grow right away. But once I started college and then thought back to that, it really just stuck with me. And so I'm really, really thankful for Mr. Willman for planting that seed. And I could tell story after story after story, because I've been so blessed by educators in my life. But Mr. Blessing and Mr. Willman would be top two for sure.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And we're thankful for you and for Class Intercom, obviously on the show, but also, like I said, the resources that you're providing for school PR and for teachers and principals and just education world as a whole. So I just want to say thank you for coming on and hanging out with me a little bit. I know we crunched this one in before the end of the month because I wanted to wait till after TSPRA to have the conversation so that we could talk a little bit about that conference. But just thanks for being a supporter of, you know, our show and of me and Aaron and just school PR as a whole.
Well, thank you. And you and Aaron are amazing. It was fun to see you guys live in your element in Texas, because you guys are rock stars in Texas school PR. And I knew that, but it was really fun to see it manifest itself in front of me. And so I just want to say thanks to you, and thanks to not just Texas school PR, but really that whole national school PR group. We know it's been a tough couple years, and I think it's really shed an important light on the work that school communication professionals do, as well as people who don't hold that title but have to fill that role, from superintendents, principals, APs, whoever it might be. And so you are so important, and know that the work that you do is important, because we really do have to market our schools. We have to tell our story, and we have to continue to recruit quality people into our educational system. So keep doing the good work.
Normally I add something at the end, but we're just going to let that be how we end this one. So keep doing the good work, guys.